Well, we have a great show today. Last week we talked about cholesterol and heart disease. This is Heart Disease Awareness Month. And this week we are talking heart disease, but we are talking about blood pressure specifically. And we have with me today, we have Leah Wilson here. Welcome.
Good morning.
And, you know, last week we were talking about cholesterol, but this show we are talking about blood pressure. But I do just want to touch on this because it's such a, you know, let's say someone didn't hear the show last week. It's such a, a controversial subject, but it's not as controversial anymore. It's just so many people still are putting themselves or getting on these cholesterol-lowering drugs and so concerned about their cholesterol numbers because that's one of the things that they check for when they go into their medical examiner.
Yeah, it's being measured by everyone, so it's something that we pay attention to. We think about, we want to monitor and control and know that we're healthy. I mean, that's what people want to know, is I'm set up to be healthy, so let's take a look at this number.
And one of the questions that really I would ask there is that really health? Does that really mean you're healthy? Because your blood work came back normal. Does that mean you're healthy? And the question that we really have to ask ourselves, and I think it's so important for you and I to dig into this just a little bit, is, hey, your cholesterol is lower. Did that mean that you have a lower risk of heart disease? Or is the high cholesterol, is that an indication of something else to change? Or from a medical perspective, hey, your high cholesterol, what do they give them?
Cholesterol-lowering medication.
Lipitor, Zocor, Crestor, Simvastatin. You can almost just, listen, you can almost just kind of sit back and know exactly what they're going to do based off of the drug that they have for X condition.
That's right. And when you're looking at taking cholesterol out of the body, we just think we're lowering it from the specific over presence in the body. But we have to really ask yourself, is this a systemic effect? So what's causing it?
Mm-hmm. And so the role of cholesterol, just to touch on this just for a moment before we get into this, because cholesterol is there for a very specific purpose. Your body produces cholesterol. Your liver makes it. And so we have to ask ourselves, would the body produce something that is killing us?
Body's always doing something smart.
It is. And so this cholesterol responds to inflammation. We talked about inflammation and the role of inflammation in the body and how cholesterol is there to actually reduce, inflammation in the body. And so when we look at it in that way, we say, hey, cholesterol is actually there doing the right thing.
Right.
It's on the job.
You don't blame the firefighters when they show up to put the fire out.
Hey, I talked
about
that.
They're not
the bad guys. Without you here, I use that example. Can you believe that? Hey, right here. That's a high five. Yep, we just high-fived. So when it comes to your health, there's two diametrically opposing ways of viewing your health. One is, hey, the body is doing the wrong thing. The body is always failing. Mm. The body seems to always break down in, unfortunately, always get sick and unfortunately always has to have body parts removed because the body parts fail prematurely. And so we have to continuously monitor with all these different examinations and all these different types of blood work and samples, stool samples, and extra tests that go into monitoring all these different parts of the body. And then we can have a doctor for all these different body parts and specialties for things like the heart, for your bowels, for your lungs, for your hormones, for your nerves. We can go through every single system in the body. We have a specialist for that system and closely monitor that with, you know, looking at health under a microscope. And we can make health complicated in that way and then prescribe all these pharmaceutical agents to try to trick the body into manipulating it for that individual specialty to trick the kidneys into doing what that specialist thinks the kidney should do, or that heart doctor believes what the heart should do, or the gastroenterologist to believe how this is how the stool should function and how the bowels should work. And the kidney, you can go down that list and you can continue to attempt to trick the body into all these different things that you believe it should do, or take a step back and realize, all of these systems work together congruently. And the body, without you trying to interfere with it, is always doing the right thing at the right time. It's doing that for a purpose.
And it's synchronistically. Whatever is going on in your body as a whole system, when we get curious about, oh, what could be going wrong? Why, maybe if we're testing levels, is this level off? Let's look at the system as a whole. Let's look and see how we're caring for our body and get to the cause. Because what makes me so sad is even, you know, I'm still young and I get people calling me that I went to college with, that I roomed with in college, being put on blood pressure medications and cholesterol lowering medications. And I'm thinking, how did you give up so easy instead of just taking a look and getting curious of what our body's telling us?
I love the idea of getting curious. Getting curious about your body. What is it trying to do that's right?
Mm-hmm. What is it telling you? Is it trying to heal or is it a sign?
And it's always trying to heal. Like if I cut your leg right now, the leg's going to heal. You know, your heart is beating, your lungs are breathing. There's literally enzymes being produced right now in your body. You have no idea what they're for. There's things happening in your brain that research has no, in scientists and the greatest doctors at Mayo Clinic and the greatest doctors at the Cleveland have no idea why that is even happening. We know less than 10% of the functioning of the human brain and the capacity and capabilities of the human brain. And so to think that, hey, the greatest doctor in the world, you know, lives at, you know, John Hopkins or the Mayo Clinic or somewhere like that or the Cleveland Clinic. No, the greatest doctor in the world actually lives right inside of you. You and I, we have the greatest doctor in the world. It's constantly trying to do the right thing at the right time. So out of respect for the body, it's important, I believe, in the way that we take care of our health. And hundreds of natural health care providers around the world are begging people, listen to your body, yes, but respect your body more. Respect your body. And when it comes to taking care of your health and your health care, respect your body. So how are some ways that we can take control over our health when talking about heart health? How can we take a step back and say, hey, these are some of the things that we know really need to be analyzed and checked when it comes to our health, when it comes to keeping our heart healthy? Because, hey, let's call it what it is. I don't want to have a heart attack.
That's right.
Hey, I don't want to have health issues. I don't want, because of a philosophical approach, to have these blinders on and then miss something.
Absolutely.
Right? And I think we can all agree with that.
We're not against taking care of heart issues.
Right. And so when it comes to blood pressure, you know, what are the experts recommend when it comes to treating high blood pressure? So you go in, you have the nurse do the blood pressure cuff. And after one, it's high. After two, it's still high. After three, it's still high.
Checking it three times?
Mm-hmm. A lot of times. So especially your first true blood pressure measurements should be taken, just so you know, three times. That's the gold standard. Three times the average of those.
I don't think I've ever had my blood pressure taken three times.
Yep. It's because they don't, they're not finding high blood pressure with you, number one.
There's no concerns.
And number two, if you're tripling the amount of time that the nurse is with you, times that by 100 times with 100 patients, that adds up. So if you're a hospital administrator, do you think that you're going to follow those standards and now you're going to need triple the number of nurses? I mean, come on. If you're trying to lower your overhead and make more money as a hospital administrator, you're not going to have somebody do that three times. So it's very rare that you see somebody who will do it three times, but it's three times. And ideally, it's first thing in the morning to get true blood pressure. Interesting, yes?
So it changes throughout the day, probably in response to stressors, right? The stressors of your days.
Hey, think about this. If I go run a mile, guess what's going to happen? My blood pressure, if you took it right after I ran a mile, guess what?
It would be elevated.
My blood pressure would absolutely be elevated.
In the hypertensive phases.
You know, Brian, when we were talking last week, we've got producer Brian here, and he's talking about, hey, going in and getting cholesterol, they want you to, fast, and there's certain requirements on there. What if that person didn't fast, and they go in, and they now have high cholesterol?
Right? Now they're eligible.
It's dynamic, and they don't emphasize these things enough, and unfortunately ask you, hey, what are some of the things that could have caused you to have high blood pressure right now? What are, I mean, are you Are you exercising? Are you high amounts of stress? Your food choices, caffeine. There's so many things that can present with a dynamic of high blood pressure, and yet those things oftentimes just kind of get brushed over as if they're not really concerned
factors.
About them. Mm-hmm. And then, again, you get this result of this high blood pressure, and then what do the so-called experts recommend? What do you think?
Quit smoking.
That's one. That can be one of them. But if you have high blood pressure and you're a smoker, guess what they're still going to put you on?
Still get the drug.
You're still going to get the drug.
But keep smoking?
Well, you know what they're going to say. They're going to say, don't smoke.
Right. But I can still qualify for the drug.
You're still going to be put on that medication. So here's the reality. Listen, when they put you on the medication, just read the fine print. It says expect to treat high blood pressure for life. That means drugs for the rest of your life. And listen, in an emergency situation, okay, that might save somebody's life. I just had a colleague of mine who had a massive heart attack and, you know, had to go to the hospital and in an emergency situation, saved his life. You know, he was thanking the doctors for saving his life. So in an emergency situation, yes, it kept him alive. He's going to be able to see his family. He's going to be able to hopefully make some changes now that would have caused him. But guess what? He didn't get those changes from the hospital. That's not their role.
Mm.
Their role is to save your life. And it's your role then to then change your life. Their role, save your life. Your role, change your life. We have to make sure that we stay in our lanes when it comes to these things. So, you know, expert advice in that way, it's not going to fix the problem. Expect to be treating blood pressure for the rest of your life. That's not the plan that I want. Just expect to be treating this for the rest of your life.
Right. And with side effects, with not ever getting to the cause of it. So what does that look like to treat something when there's actually an underlying cause? That just seems almost like fraud that I would go through my day thinking this is taken care of. But in all actuality, the body is still trying to tell you something.
Right. And with the medication, there's always an effect. I don't like to call it side effects. It's just a direct effect.
Of putting something into your mouth and it affecting the body.
Well, every time you take a drug, it has to be processed through your entire body. It never just goes, you know, localizes to the point of pain or the problem. It affects everything directly. So it's not a side effect. It's a not intended effect. I understand why they call that, but we just minimize these things. We're like, well, yeah, it's a side effect. I've got a rash. Well, you know, I've got this. No, listen. Side effect of blood pressure medications, extra urination, sexual dysfunction, weakness, intense food pain, asthma, cold for the hands and feet, depression, insomnia. You know, it's not just these small little things. And you think about this, these are direct effects. Why are there so many from, you know, cold hands and feet to asthma to sexual dysfunction? Because it's a global issue. So it's actually affecting your entire body, all the systems in your body. It's an intended poison that we take in order to have some level of effect, hopefully, with lowering blood pressure.
To have the intended effect, but also on lots of other things that affect your circulation and your overall function and quality of life.
Yeah, so I want to, what is the approach then? Because I don't want to dance around this topic. What is the approach? When it comes to blood pressure, I like to use the analogy of a plant. You take a plant. What does a plant need? It needs sun, soil, and water, and air. If you deprive most plants of any one of those things, what's going to happen? You're going to get a plant who does not function optimally.
That withers.
And eventually what happens? The plant does what?
Dies.
Early. And so think of the body. The body is not as complicated as what we've made it. Yes, it's smart. But health is not complicated. Health is actually simple. And so the body, what does it need? It needs good, healthy nutrients, yes? So our nutrition is super important. What we put into our body becomes our body, becomes our cells. So we want to put life-giving foods into the body. We want to make sure that we're eating as close to a natural state as possible. The exercise, how we
oxygen.
Move our body. So oxygenating our body. Our body needs to be made up of lean muscles and oxygenating our cells, taking deep breaths all the way in, all the way out. Our body detoxes as we move, as we exercise. Unfortunately, we sit way too often. We're more sedentary now than ever. And then what do? We have to plan these, you know, these bouts of exercise that most people don't. That either they don't plan them in general, or they just don't do them. They plan for them and then just don't do them. And so, you know, so our bodies are designed to move. It's essential. You know, you think about toxicity. You know, if that plant needs sun, soil, water, and air, and if we dump a bunch of poisons into it, what's going to happen? The plant's going to die. So the same thing with our body. Our body, there's this natural internal ecosystem that our body has. And unfortunately, if we start poisoning the well, poisoning the natural internal ecosystem, well, we're going to express symptoms, signs, early dysfunction, and dysfunction leads to death, right? So if we can catch it at dysfunction, if we can start allowing the body to function optimally by looking at these essentials to life. So another one, your nervous system, your brain communicating to your body. If your brain communicating to your organs, that needs to be happening at 100%. There's no interruption. There's no interference. There's no imbalance. So it's the balance of your nervous system that actually predicts and promotes health. There's a great quote from a medical doctor, and he was talking about this very subject of the nervous system being so integral to the health of your body. Is Thomas Cohen. He's a medical doctor, and he also served as vice president of the Physicians Association, and has a long history working as a cardiologist. He's actually talking about heart attacks here, and he says most heart attacks are likely caused by an imbalance of your central nervous system and your autonomic nervous system, which controls the function of your internal organs. And so he's saying it's the balance of your nervous system that is so critical for your body's health. Now think about this. What's a bigger predictor of someone getting heart disease, the foods that they ate or the stress that they're encountering? You think about that. You say, hey, you need to settle down. You're going to give yourself a heart attack.
Mm-hmm.
You think about people when they do have heart attacks, it's usually in high stress situations. And so it wasn't necessarily that they ate a hamburger and now they got a heart attack. What is it?
That's stress.
It's stress. They're going through a divorce. They're going through something. How in the heck did that work? It worked through their nervous system. It's all about your nervous system. When it comes to your heart health, when it comes to blood pressure, your nervous system is at the absolute core, at the absolute center of this. And so that's one of the reasons why, as a Max Living Doctor, there's hundreds of Max Living Doctors across the country. We look at a couple things that are so important to us. And one of them, yes, is your mindset and how you respond to stress. But number two is the function of your nervous system. Because when the function of your nervous system is imbalanced in your nervous system, as Dr. Thomas Cohen said, there's an imbalance in that central nervous system or that fight or flight mechanism versus rest and digest and rebuild and rejuvenate. If there's an imbalance there and your body is now geared towards, or your nervous system is now ramped up into this fight or flight mode, well, yeah, you are at a much higher risk for things like heart attacks.
And how often do we see that? Do we see people come into the clinic even who are literally stuck in fight or flight and no mm-hmm. one is coaching them on how to come out of fight or flight mode? Because oftentimes I think we are too nervous to go there, to think that we actually have any amount of control over how we respond to life. Like, that seems more esoteric and hard to tackle mm-hmm. than it does to just take a drug that would cover up a symptom that we know is unwanted because it can lead to unknown or unwanted effects. And so that's a big question that we have to encourage people to dive into and see as worth it. How are we responding to stress? Not necessarily getting rid of stress or cursing the stress in our life, but how do we respond to that stress? And are we stuck in fight or flight, which is in disabling us to respond well to stress?
And so the real question is, what's causing stress on the nervous system? And so, yes, there are a couple of different things that we can look at as far as foods that can interfere with the nervous system and stress on the nervous system when it comes to how we exercise. There's a couple different buckets here that we can look at how and what influences the nervous system.
That's a really good distinction, looking at stress on the nervous system, not just what's a stressor in life in general.
Because when you say stress, what do most people think? Well, I don't have it. You know, I actually, I feel like I respond really well to stress, or yeah, I know I have a stressful life, but I really don't feel like it's affecting me. That's the common, you know, that's the common story that you get from—
Because you learn to live with it.
And it's your low level of stress that now you've learned to cope with. But here's the reality. It's not about the stress. It's about how you respond to stress when it comes to your, with your mindset. But it's also, there's some other, unfortunately, there's some other things that cause stress on your nervous system. Yes, the foods that we eat can. Think about coffee and stimulants. Stimulants. What does that do? Do you think that causes your body to be in fight or flight or cortisol release or rest and digest? And no, you get shaky, right? People, if they don't eat food and they drink coffee, they might get shaky. They might feel more alert, more aware. And so what do they do though? In order to achieve that, there is a specific mechanism that happens there with the adrenal glands that had to ramp up, had to release some very powerful hormones there to allow your body to then express itself more alive. But are you more alive? Or are you being chased by a bear? You know, are you, it's a subtle fight or flight response. Yes, it is subtle, but think about coffee drinkers. It's something that they do daily many times. It's chronic stress. And so any stimulant is going to be something that has a direct impact on your nervous system. So how about sugar? Of course, sugar is not only going to be inflammatory, but also a stimulant.
We don't often think about sugar being a stimulant until you have kids. And then you picture what happens to your child when they have sugar in their mouth, that they go crazy.
Big
effect on their brain.
1 in 4 kids have plaquing in their arteries. And so what?
Wow.
And so think about all the sugar that they're intaking. And we blame it on fat. It's not fat. It's the sugar. We talked about that on our last show. Now think about this. Okay, so we talk about the foods that we eat, the coffee and the stimulants and the sodas, like the soda. So now you're talking about a stimulant plus sugar. And now how many kids are now, you know, consuming sodas? And now you think about, okay, now think about the, we say, well, okay, let's get rid of sugar. Let's give them, let's do sugar substitutes. And now aspartame and now neurotoxins. Now you're thinking, okay, stimulants of the nervous system, that is a known neurotoxin. So now we're not only stimulating the nervous system, we're toxifying the nervous system. And so we have the perfect, I would say the perfect scenario here, I'd call the perfect storm here, to create heart issues.
The overburdening of the systems. You know, the systems are designed to deal with a certain burden, but when you look at this overburden, because of our lifestyles, it's no wonder that we have 100 million Americans with blood pressure issues.
And so blood pressure, you have to look upstream. You cannot isolate blood pressure and say, hey, can you see how not simple this is to just, it seems like a simple solution. Hey, just go to the counter, get the prescription medication filled, be on this for the rest of your life. If you're not getting to the cause, what you're doing is you're giving somebody a permission slip to never change.
Mm-hmm.
And listen, if this was the answer to heart disease, if cholesterol-lowering drugs and beta blockers were the answers,
we'd be number one.
We would be number one in health. But think about this. We'd also not have heart disease. We would have eradicated heart disease. It would not be the number one cause of death in North America anymore.
But instead, we've seen the trends continue to get worse. So we have this huge uptake in the cholesterol lowering and the blood pressure medications. And now they're rewriting the norms so that even more people have to be on them. And we're not seeing an improvement in these things, even though we have ready access to them. So we have to look deeper. We have to look at what the cause might be if we want to start getting better outcomes.
And just abandon ship with this. Holy cow, are you kidding me? Okay, so here we are. No one wants to be on a drug. You talk to 10 people, 10 of them say, I don't want to necessarily be on the drug, unless it's a life-saving drug because they've had stents in their heart or they've had a, you know, amputee or whatever it is. Most people, they don't want to be in the drug. And yet here we are. We continue to run to the medical office and trust the medical people when it comes to the care of our heart. Yes?
The care of our human frame.
And we don't take a step back and we say, listen, okay, well, is it even working? Is it lowering the deaths? Is it why is heart disease still the number one cause of death here in America? Yet, you know, 1 in 3 people are on a statin lower medication. 1 in 2 are on some medication for their heart. So you think about this, okay, what are we actually doing? Yes, we're palliating symptoms, and some might say, yeah, we're keeping you alive longer. Are we? Is what we're doing even necessary? And so taking a step back, having a different approach, respecting the nervous system, respecting the doctor within is utmost priority. And so by doing that, we need to take a step back and also say, okay, what are some of the real issues that we need to concern ourselves with? We talked about food. We talked about toxicity on some level. We talked about stimulants. But how about the one thing that actually protects your nervous system? Something that's so rarely talked about is the fact that your nervous system is compromised of your brain and spinal cord. So your brain and spinal cord is what controls everything for your heart to be beating and healing and functioning at its best, for everything to work inside of the body. It's actually coming from your nervous system. Yet it's so well protected because it's the lifeline. It's you and I's lifeline. It's so well protected. You have 24 individual movable bones that surround and protect the brainstem, the spinal cord, and the nerves. And so that's your spine. That's your spinal column. That's your skull. My skull might be thicker than your skull.
That's right. And that's, I remember you telling me one time that when people have their forward head posture, when their structure shifts, they have greater risk of these very issues we're talking about.
Men, this was Archives of Internal Medicine, December 2006. Men who lost 3 centimeters or more in height were 60% more likely to die of heart disease and lung disease. What does that mean? What does that say? Men who lost 3 centimeters or more in height. So picture this person. This is a person as they age, they're losing height. How does it happen to grandma? How does it happen to grandpa? They lose height as they age because they lose it in their spine. They lose it in their discs. And so what's happening is that's more and more pressure that's happening on the nerves, especially in this upper back. You ever see the grandma hump?
Yes, and you don't even think about the really the only way to lose height as you age is in your spine shifting.
It's shifting. The joints are degenerating. And many times that disc is actually getting thinner and thinner, and you have 24 of those discs in your spine. And so when you are losing the height, what's happening is that's causing more and more pressure. And where that grandma hump that people are getting, those are the nerves. Guess where they go?
The heart.
Heart and lungs. Men who lost 3 centimeters or more in height were 60% more likely to die of heart disease and lung disease. That is not my stat. That is the Archives of Internal Medicine, December 2006. Your nervous system controls all healing, all functioning inside of the body. We need to care for the nervous system. We need to not stimulate and overstimulate the nervous system. We need to, yes, this is why people who have faith have less heart attacks. This is one of the reasons, because they have hope. They have the same amount of stress, yet they don't necessarily interpret the stress as much. They have a deity or a bigger power that they rely on, and so they're not necessarily going to freak out and try to depend on themselves. These are things that matter when it comes to your health, when it comes to your heart health, when it comes to your blood pressure. But the care of the human frame is so stinking important. Why does someone shrink? Well, they don't have to, and that's not actually normal physiology. It's common, but it's not necessarily normal. One of the reasons, you can predict this. You and I have seen this on x-rays. You can predict this. Someone walks in. You look at their posture. You can see where their problems might be coming from. But when you take x-rays, you can see down to the millimeter where the stress is on the joints, where it is on the discs. You can predict which areas are going to degenerate, which areas are going to, where this person is going to shrink. But more importantly, you can predict what kind of symptoms, what kind of problems this person is going to have just based off of the areas in the spine that are connected to the different organs. you can predict what kind of problems this person is going to have just by looking at x-rays. And so it's, yes, looking at x-rays, but then it's, okay, then what do you do about that? That's kind of the next step. What, okay, we know there's a problem. What do you then do about that? And that's why it's so important to then have a doctor who knows what they're doing when it comes to care of the nervous system, care of the spine, how to correct these underlying problems, ideally a Max Living chiropractor who can walk you through this, and then also deal with the other lifestyle factors that contribute to the problem that said person is coming in with.
That's right. And it's crazy thinking about the hope in that message right there is there's a thing that we can do to improve our circumstances by as much as what you were saying, 60%. And this is not rocket science. It's we identify it. We take hope in the fact that taking care of the human frame, taking care of the nervous system can have an amazingly powerful effect on our health outcomes and on what we can see happening in our life down the road.
Well, it's the nervous system is so important to the health of the heart and the blood pressure. They showed this with when you start getting pressure off of the nervous system, there's a study that showed that it reduces the blood pressure by 14 points systolic, 8 points diastolic. And again, that was a WebMD, March 16th, 2007. And they were able to get the pressure off of the nervous system with a very specific measured chiropractic adjustment, specifically to the upper part of the cervical spine, again, where the nerves control and help to regulate the heart. And so it's not a treatment for blood pressure. That I want to be very clear about that. It's not the treatment for blood pressure. It's the care for the nervous system. And as an effect of caring for the nervous system, what happens? The body functions better. It regulates itself better. But again, it's the utmost importance to care for the structure, care for it. And as an outcome of that, what do you have? You have lower hospital admissions. You know, those who cared for their spine and nervous system, they're under regular chiropractic and wellness care. They showed 60.2 fewer hospital admissions, 59% fewer days hospitalized, 62% fewer outpatient surgeries, 85% less pharmaceutical costs. So think about that. These are people who have been taking care of their spine and nervous system, been getting adjusted for 5 years or more. This is the outcome. It's a different paradigm. It's a different way to live.
Why should that even be optional then? You know, you look at this and the health outcomes that you get just from chiropractic care alone, not even taking into consideration the other things we've already discussed in terms of moving your body and nutrition, but chiropractic care alone gets you 60% fewer hospital admissions. Mm-hmm. So taking care of the nervous system, once you know that it needs taken care of, how can it be even optional? You know, it's not just a good idea, but it's a super powerful way to take control of your health.
And that's the key. Take control of your health. We had a patient, Norm, comes in, and he was, you know, he's struggling with blood pressure, struggling with, you know, range of motion in his neck. He's a truck driver. He's having difficulty passing his DOT examination and, you know, looked to find out what was actually causing these underlying issues, went through the full examination, went through the full process. And, you know, here he is now. He passed his DOT. He's off of all of his medications. You know, I remember this was 3.5 years ago when Norm started, and he's still comes in on a regular basis. He's happy. He's healthy. He's on medications. He's still a truck driver and loves his job, loves what he's doing. And so the key is, hey, how can we help that person get to the heart of what they really want and then find a pathway and a solution for them to really get healthy and stay healthy for a lifetime.
And I love stories like that because to someone listening that doesn't drive for a living, that test might seem trivial to them. But for someone to not be able to pass a DOT test and then be able to pass it, that's their livelihood. And that's what they really feel like that they're here to do, is to fulfill that purpose and to be able to pass a test to allow them to function. So I love that.
Okay, so we were talking about blood pressure. We're talking about heart disease. And you know, here we are, you know, we're talking about, okay, here are some ways to help yourself when it comes to your heart and how to get a healthy heart and maintain a healthy heart. You brought up a really good point when it comes to, hey, here I am, I'm struggling. What are some tangible and some other things that I can start doing?
Right. A lot of our listeners, you know, they're sitting there and meeting them where they're at is, well, I'm already up against a wall. I already feel stuck and I haven't been living the lifestyle that you guys often talk about when it comes to nutrition, exercise, caring for your nervous system, having right thoughts throughout your day. And so the good news is the body is amazingly resilient. And this is one of the things that I am always amazed by when looking at the human frame and how it doesn't matter where we are today, that respecting the body always pays dividends. So that's all right. If you have an unwanted diagnosis or health condition or feel like your lifestyle has led you down a path that might not be optimal, the body is resilient and there's things that we can do to help reverse things that you're dealing with.
That's right. And so, you know, what's really cool, what you're talking about, the video that we just watched about the body actually creating arteries, new arteries, these collateral arteries right around clogged blood vessels.
Right. You're not up the creek without a paddle just because, I don't want to say just because and trivialize it, but when you have a clog in your heart or when you have an obstruction, the body will find a way.
It's new pathways. So listen to this. This is incredible. We're just watching. I like to watch things that give me more confidence in my body. And we were watching under a microscope, this medical doctor talk through, you know, it's a new discovery, if you will, but it's not a new discovery. It's 7-8 years old now, where he was looking at a 90% clogged artery and he was putting in a dye into this artery and he was showing where it was clogged. And at that area of clogged, what most people would think, it's so constricted that it's having to try to force this blood all the way through it. And that is one of the reasons why someone will have high blood pressures, because it's like narrowing of the arteries, which makes sense. We've heard of the garden hose analogy, where you put your thumb on the garden hose and the garden hose will spray further. And so that's the example they always use for high blood pressure. Nope. When they looked at this, there's a 90% clogged artery. What happened? The body created new arteries right around that clogged artery. And what he showed when he put in contrast medium into the blood vessel to actually demonstrate where is the blood going, it went right around the clogged artery and supplied the lower parts of the heart anyway.
And it's not like the body is going to take a path that doesn't provide proper amount of resistance. So that's what this doctor was showing in the video, is it's not that these little droplets are squeezing through somewhere that's blocked, but yet the body says, oh, we need a new path. We need a path of less resistance. Otherwise, we might damage ourselves, right? And so it's just amazing to watch how these things happen and remind yourself that, wow, my body is resilient, my body solves problems, and I can solve problems for my health too.
Mm-hmm. Now here's what's great. If you've been diagnosed with clogged arteries as an example, there's some natural things that you can do to loosen the blood vessels, to get better expansion and contraction of your blood vessels, really things that can make your blood vessels healthy again. You're never too far gone. Anyone who tells you you're too far gone, unfortunately, they're either not seeing the miracle stories that we've seen, or they're just unwilling to give you any false hope. So when it comes to some ways to unclog the arteries, if you've got a pen and paper, you're going to want to write some of these things down, especially if you or someone you love is dealing with clogged arteries, or if they're dealing with high cholesterol, or they've had stents that gotten put in the heart. Well, guess what? Just because you opened up those blood vessels artificially did not mean you got to the cause of your problem. You're likely still making the substances and the problems that cause those arteries to be clogged in the first place, by the way, a lot of times due to inflammation. But when it comes to helping your body get healthy again, here are some just natural things that you can do and incorporate into your life to help not only lower blood pressure, but also like fight infection, reduce inflammation, preventing cholesterol oxidation. And so some natural compounds. One is pomegranate. It's found to reverse the carotid artery thickness by up to 29% within 1 year. Pomegranate. So pomegranate has such a remarkable and profound effect on your blood vessels. Lowering blood pressure helps to fight infection and Plaque in the arteries often contains bacteria and viruses. It prevents cholesterol oxidation, helps to reduce inflammation. Pomegranate is awesome.
That's probably why we saw pomegranate juice go crazy in the grocery stores a few years back, because this isn't a secret, but it's known that powerful nutrients have a powerful effect on the body and help the body do what it's supposed to do and repair itself. Mm-hmm. So pomegranates, and you know what? These are great for the whole family. We don't wait to start feeding our kids well until they have these types of issues, but we build in lifestyle habits of these are the types of things that we intake on a daily, weekly basis, on a normal basis.
Mm-hmm. Arginine is another one. Arginine. It's amino acid. It not only prevents the progression of atherosclerosis, plaquing of the arteries, but also reverses pathologies, I should say, that are associated with the process of getting clogged arteries. And so helping to reduce inflammation, increasing the production of nitric oxide, which normally, you know, is depressed in blood vessels. And so arginine is great when it comes to the health of your arteries. Another one is garlic.
That's one of my favorites.
You love garlic.
You can put garlic in every single meal. We don't have an excuse not to be eating garlic, right? I mean, it makes everything better. So having just whole form, whole food, organic garlic to throw into anything you're doing is super powerful, especially because if you're getting more vegetables and you just throw garlic in, that you're having those quality nutrients for you and the whole family that help our bodies repair.
And so aged garlic extract, it inhibits the progression of coronary artery calcification in patients receiving statin therapy. I read their own statistic. That is garlic. That is how powerful garlic can be. Reduces risk factors associated with heart attack and stroke. Getting garlic inhibits arterial sclerotic plaque formation. So getting garlic into your body in any way, shape, or form is going to be something that can be beneficial to your body, ideally in a whole food form on a daily basis. The last one is something that is a missing link, I think, with a lot of people when it comes to their supplementation, and it is a B complex. B vitamins, one of the few vitamins to not only reduce the progression of plaque buildup in the arteries, but also help to reverse it. There's a possible explanation for this is the positive effect of the role of B vitamins have in reducing the production of homocysteine. That's one of the things that is very rarely talked about, homocysteine, and in that helps, you know, the B vitamins have the ability to reduce the production of that homocysteine in the body.
Whenever I think of B vitamins, I always think of brain health. And so it's interesting to see the correlation, how all boats rise. And a lot of that is how we're responding to, once again, stress in life and how well the nervous system is functioning. Mm-hmm. Those B vitamins are a great assistance with all of that.
Yeah. And some people say, what is homocysteine? Because I know I saw that look in your face when I said it. You know, what that is that's an amino acid that helps with blood vessel scarring. And so, you know, when it comes to like, what do we really want to measure? Well, homocysteine is something that should be measured, because if you have high amounts of homocysteine, well, that means you have high amounts of blood vessel damage. And if you're having blood vessel damage because of inflammation or how you're living or whatever stress might have induced that, well, homocysteine is going to be high. Well, B vitamins have the ability to reduce that impact and that effect by reducing homocysteine in the body naturally. Again, these not something you're trying to trick the body into doing. It's something that we should be getting from our food. We just don't get it from food at the rate that we used to get it anymore because of nutrient depletion of our soil, et cetera. So, you know, we never go into this show heavily and talk through supplementation heavily on this show. We don't necessarily promote supplements. And so on this show, but B vitamin is a great one. So is like a vitamin D supplementation, with ideally with a probiotic along with that, that can help reduce the effects of inflammation.
Oxidative stress.
Great for your heart health, great for brain health, great for your immune system. There's a Harvard study that found that low vitamin D levels are correlated to an increased risk of developing a heart attack. We have to have vitamin D because when we don't have vitamin D, a lot of our pathways, a lot of our hormone function is dependent on vitamin D. And so we get that from the sun. We don't, unfortunately, get the amount of sun exposure that we should get. And so because of that, our production of vitamin D is very low in North Americans.
And one of the last ones I think of would be the essential fatty acids, right? I mean, isn't that a no-brainer if you're dealing with overall systemic health? And so you're talking about vitamin D and vitamin B, and then the next one that comes to mind are your omegas.
Mm-hmm. And when it comes to omegas, it's so important because this is one of the ways to help reduce inflammation almost immediately. Is inflammation, there's this balance of omega-6s to omega-3s within the body. If you ramp up on omega-3 fatty acids and you get it from a good, healthy source, and you also get in good, healthy fat in your diet. And I say good, healthy fat on purpose because there's a lot of people, you know, they load up on fat, but it's, junk food and when it comes to fat. And so we're talking good, healthy fat. And so supplementing with a good omega-3 supplement with a good vitamin D, load up on B vitamins. And these are just simple things that we've been talking to patients with and helping them through, for the last 7 years or so. And so these are just things that have withstood the test of time that also can be very helpful when it comes to your heart health. But remember, it's not about just nutrition. It's not even just about exercise, eating well and moving. Remember, Dr. Thomas Cohen is a medical doctor. He said this, when it comes to your heart health, when it comes to heart attacks, he said, most heart attacks are likely caused by an imbalance in your central nervous system, in your autonomic nervous system, which controls the function of your internal organs. Remember, it's all about the balance of your nervous system. So the supplements that you're taking, the reason why it's working or has any effect in the body is because your nervous system told it exactly what to do. Like right now, if we had a cadaver laying in front of us and we put vitamin D and omegas into that cadaver, guess where it would go?
Nowhere.
Even if we got it to swallow, it wouldn't assimilate it. Why?
No
because
benefit.
There's no benefit. Why? Because the body's not functioning. The body's no longer functioning. All the enzymes, all the blood, everything is still there. Yet if the power inside of the brain is no longer there, no longer functioning, well, it's not going to use those nutrients to assimilate it and take it where it wants. And what did Thomas Cohen say, medical doctor? The imbalance of your central nervous system. He was tapping on the heart of why someone gets not only heart attacks, but has blood pressure issues. And we now know that an imbalance in the nervous system, stress, is the root cause of all sickness and all disease. So knowing that, what do we need to care for most out of anything else? It's the nervous system. That's one of the reasons we look at the spine, we look at the nervous system, is because it is at the core, your absolute core of your health. And so we start with that because yes, there are symptoms that can come about when there's improper care, when there's damage to it. And a lot of people think of the simple ones, like the neck pain, the back pain, the headaches, and the numbness and tingling. And they think things like that, but it's so much more than just those symptoms. Those are just check engine lights that go off in your car, indicator lights on your dashboard that tell you there might be damage or there might be problems that exist there. And so those are just indicator lights. We don't want to cover up those indicator lights. We want to respect the body, and we want to also dig deeper to find out, okay, what's causing it and what's the real solution.
I hope that provides people some hope with the power of the nervous system and taking care of this very simple but critical thing in your life can change the health for you and your family.
And it's these little small decisions that we make over time that either produce health or produce sickness. And we're either going one way or the other. There is no neutral when it comes to your health. It's either foot on the gas or foot off the gas. And when your foot's off the gas, you take steps backwards and slow down. And so, hey, remember to think, but don't think like everyone else. When the rest of the world is making decisions that are not congruent with your philosophy, with your faith, don't act out of fear, act out of faith. Greatest doctor in the world lives right inside of you. Don't forget that.
Make it a great day.